From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Big announcement from EBOS.
Yeah, big announcement from EBOS. Yes, actually, a couple of announcements of note on the New Zealand market yesterday. EBOS, first of all. EBOS, it might not be a household name, you know. People may not have heard it. It's dual-listed on the NZX and the ASX. They market, they wholesale, they distribute healthcare, medical, pharmaceutical products. But it's a big company, Mike. $6 billion market capitalization. It's got 3,700 employees, 63 offices, so big business. Yesterday they announced the acquisition of a business called Life Health Care, which is not the easiest one to say on the radio, actually. It's a large independent distributor of third-party medical devices, consumables, and also capital equipment in Australasia. But importantly, this is the important thing about this deal, they also operate in Southeast Asia. And my understanding is this is the first major foray of EBOS outside of Australasia. $1.25 billion acquisition, so it's a big transaction, Mike, and of course, big transactions like that need to be funded. So they've got a bit of a combination going on here, a retail share offer for the smaller shareholders. I think that's about $100 million, a fully underwritten placement of 680 New Zealand million to institutions. So they were all busy yesterday assessing this offer, and 540 million Aussie of debt facilities. EBOS, it's over the last 18 months, they've made a series of smaller acquisitions. So this is sort of consistent with that previous growth strategy. Trading in EBOS has been halted. Life Health Care has revenue of about 326 million Aussie. On first view, the price looks reasonable. It's a big business to absorb, so there's a bit of execution risk there. Trading currently going well for EBOS. From what I heard around the traps yesterday, I think the deal will be well received, but we'll see when trading recommences.
Fantastic. Then we had the vote. The vote went the right way, but then we've still got the government for Fonterra, don't we?
Yeah, this is Fonterra. So this is taking their new capital structure to the farmers. It was approved with very high levels of agreement, actually. Look, it is quite a complicated thing. The end result we'll see be a little bit harder for non-farmer shareholders to sort of have exposure to this sector via the NZX. That's through the Fonterra shareholders funds that trade on the NZX. So they're probably going to be a little bit more liquid. Short term, it's going to be tricky for farmers to realise value of those shares. And if they want to do that, farmers feel it's the best long-term sort of structure. Very much entrenching the cooperative nature of the structure, Mike. They're sort of moving away from the corporate idea, overall trying to address that long-term trend of lower milk production, competition for that production. Look, I do wonder, I ponder, I reflect, Mike, on whether this will constrain growth opportunities for Fonterra itself moving forward. But importantly, you're dead right, it needs government support. So the Dairy Industry Restructuring Act, I think, is the one. That legislation needs to be changed. And at the moment, the government has reservations.
Big reservations. Damien's not a happy boy anyway. The chairman of Fonterra is on the program very shortly, so we'll talk more about that. So the year, this is your final one for the year. I mean, you can't, well, I mean, what do you say?
What do you...
Shipping chain, supplies, lockdown, inflation, the whole thing.
Yeah, Mike, look, all periods are important, aren't they, Mike? But lockdown and Delta, it's really sucked a lot of energy, particularly out of Auckland. And I think what I'd like to say, we need to regain some momentum. So we're going into the Christmas wind down as well, but I'm keen to see the energy and the momentum lift. I mean, Delta, enough said. Coronavirus isn't going away, Mike. What I want to say, I know it's hard, but I think 2022, we've got to emphasise, we've got to concentrate on what we can do. You know, we've got to work hard to sort of encourage and increase what we can do. And that needs to come from everywhere, from the top down. What can we do? You know, not what can't we do? A couple of parting shots, I suppose, Mike. Inflation, it gathered energy in 2021. It was probably spawned in 2020, but I think it will be more cruelly felt in 2022. There's always lags in inflation, Mike, sort of gets passed on. But inflation and interest rates, obviously, big key. There's going to be a bit of a hit to disposable income in 2022. So that's a headwind. But there's tailwinds as well, Mike. The economy is resilient. We've got strong commodity prices. And next time we talk, Mike, I will have spent a few weeks in the US. So yeah. I'm hoping to bring back new and fresh perspectives and tackle 2022 with renewed energy and vigour.
Meantime, give me the numbers one more time.
Let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones is down 28 points, 35,725, 4681, down small on the S&P 500, 15,647 on the NASDAQ, down 139. Overnight, 7321 for the FTSE 100, 28725 the Nikkei, 3673 Shanghai Composite, the ASX 200 lost 21, 7384, NZX 50 lost 96 yesterday, 12,771. 0.6783 Kiwi against the US, 0.9492 Aussie, 0.6011 Euro, 0.5142 pounds, 77 yen, $1,776 is the gold price, and Brent crude, $75.16.
Fantastic. You have a fabulous break, mate. We're in America.
Too.
Is it Atlanta?
Atlanta, cold. Florida, maybe New York.
Oh, Florida, a little bit of Florida, are you? You're visiting the condo there, are you, again? Can you get back? Good on you. You have a lovely Christmas, mate. We'll see you next year. Appreciate it as always. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.